And welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, man of many mysteries and oversized hoodies, Jody. What's up, Joe?
What's good, man? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. Last day of spring break. Got to go back to school tomorrow.
Ooh, you're like Billy Madison. Back to school.
But we're on the home stretch of the year, dude. We got like,
yeah, true.
Whatever it is,
what, like 2 months,
10 weeks left, something like that. And then it's summer vacation. So we're ready.
There's 104 days of summer vacation.
Wow, dude. Pulling out the pop culture references everywhere today. What a master.
Hey, I mean, we're going earlier than normal. You know, we're our brain's still working a little bit.
All right. Love it. We got linebackers today. Needless to say, I think we both had a similar feeling. We just watched probably the two truly elite position groups of this class back-to-back with the offensive line and the receivers. This is the year to be drafting O-line and receiver. It is, unfortunately, probably not the year to be drafting linebacker. This crew is not as deep or as, you know, good at the top as those other two crews are. And I think it was kind of funny. We were both mentioning that it just wasn't as
exciting to watch or.
Yeah, that evaluate. Might be the word.
Yeah.
it just wasn't, it didn't feel like, oh my gosh, there's so many guys here. You know, like you felt like, the last couple weeks.
Pop off.
Yeah. This crew is probably a little bit more like the tight end crew that we watched. But even the tight end group has Brock Bowers at the top and even, you know, Jatavion Sanders. And after that, it falls off a little bit. This crew, you know, maybe there's two guys that end up being top 40 picks. Maybe one guy that ends up being a top 40 pick. Yeah. But outside of that, it's going to, you know, these linebackers aren't going to go until probably later. So it's really interesting to see, you know, the difference from group to group. You're starting to see it as we watch through. Mm-hmm. We're getting winded down. We only have, I believe, four more position groups after this one. We've got running backs, Ryan. Corners, safeties, and quarterbacks. So we don't have a lot left. We're getting there. If you like what we do, I'll let Jody tell you what to do.
Like, comment, subscribe, leave a review if you got Apple. I'm telling you, I'm hoping by the time this one's out, we'll finally have an Instagram. Now, I tried to make one last week, but it connected to my personal account. And I'm not saying I don't want that to happen, but I don't want it to pop up every time like, oh, you have this contact in your phone. Go follow them. Like, I don't need that to happen. I want it to happen naturally, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I want to set it up through our email that we have for everything and then get that rolling. So we should have one soon, very, very soon. And if you look up Lay Second and Two podcast, that might pop up. I don't know. That's where the other one put, because I was like, I was going to do our normal. But then, well, one, you can't use the and sign. So I had to type out the word.
Mm.
But two, it was like, I don't want to not have this name, so I got to put Lay and then delete it. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, that's a long, complicated way of saying we're getting ready if they truly do end up banning TikTok.
Yeah, true. That is true. Reels, bro. They've been on the up and up for a minute. Shout out Meta.
So without further ado, let's get into this linebacker group. Who do we have first, Joe?
Right, so we're taking a look at Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. He's 6 foot flat at 228 pounds. We got 3 years of play with 31 total games. Dang, this man's a tackling machine, huh? We had 196 tackles, 36 of those for loss. He's got the missed tackles percentage sitting at 5%. He had 4 picks in his 3 years there and had a total of 13 sacks. And then I got some combine numbers from him. I think we got like 3 dudes that did it, or maybe 4, just some didn't do everything. So he had 7.13 on his 3 cone. He had a 4.4 on his shuttle, and then he did 21 reps on the bench. Okay. So he didn't run no 40.
So it's kind of funny now. This is, you know, we're starting to think about this draft as like the legacy draft, bro. We got Marvin Harrison Jr. We got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. We got Frank Gore Jr.
Oh, we really? Got,
Luke McCaffrey. Yeah, dude, we got a bunch of names. This is the legacy draft, man. So continuing with that theme, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. First and foremost, I think the thing that I thought when I watched him was, one, he was savvy in the passing game as an underneath, you know, hook defender. Obviously, he had 4 career picks. He had 9 pass breakups. He only gave up 50% completions when he was targeted. Pretty good as an underneath hook dropper in Clemson zone coverages. He even baited these some of these quarterbacks into ill-advised throws and undercut some routes. So here you go. Getting into the film here. Now this one I love because he's getting into his hook drop, but he flips his hips because he feels the seam and flips with it, gets underneath it. This one, you know, you're getting the out route.
Undercut.
You know, the quarterback's not expecting him to be there, right? Yes. The coverage dictates he should stay in the hook, but he had such great eyes back in the quarterback. Then you see him obviously making a tackle in space, right? Rallying to the ball. Here he is against Spencer Rattler, again, jumping a ball that, you know, was probably an ill-advised throw. But you just see some of the athleticism. Like this one right here is probably my favorite just because he flips his hips to stay back underneath it and then picks that ball. That's great technique, great stuff. This one, just great eyes, right? I mean, the way this coverage is, the corner is going to play the out route. You can see it. He's going to be the one that drives it. But, you know, the hook defender here, Trotter, he just keeps his eyes on the quarterback. So he sees the throw. So he's just going to go undercut it. Probably would have not been a great throw even if he hadn't undercut it. But then again, you see him in the hook. You know, okay, I get the underneath throw. Good enough to rally to the ball. That's another one of those things. It's kind of an underrated trait. And then this one, Rattler never sees him, right? He thinks he's got the slant. Trotter's just running to it. I mean, just doesn't even break stride. Pick 6. So, obviously, you saw he made a lot of plays. 2 of those picks went to the house, right?
True.
So, really savvy in the passing game. The next thing was, you know, this is something I've noticed actually on a few guys' tape. Just the idea of the sort of delayed blitz, or sometimes people refer to him as the ghost blitzer, where you're going to see him kind of sit at the line of scrimmage, almost like he's spying an ad late. And when he sees it, he hits it. Obviously, he was, you know, a good blitzer, period. That's why he had 13 sacks. But he graded a lot of big-time plays. He just had a really good sense of when to add if he was in that ghost blitz mode. But show you a little bit of his versatility in terms of all kinds of blitzes. Here he is against North Carolina, Drake May, right? The ability to kind of reroute on the blitz and go find it. Here's that ghost blitz we're talking about. Sitting at the line of scrimmage, waits for that center's head to turn.
Oh, yeah, this one was nice.
Then I add, right? That's another one against Drake May in North Carolina. Here he was against Georgia Tech in the kickoff classic a couple years ago. Again, that ghost blitz waiting to add against Georgia Tech this last year. Here he is with a great timing on a normal blitz to go get Sam Hartman in Notre Dame.
Yeah, again, that running back just wasn't even looking. He had his head down.
Mm-hmm. So he's really good. He has really good timing on blitzes. And then again, if he's in that kind of ghost blitz mode, he does a really good job of finding it when he needs to, right? And you could see he was a pretty good blitzer. So obviously did a pretty good job in the passing game as a blitzer, as a cover man, but then also in the run game, he's pretty powerful, right? His game is more power than finesse for sure. He goes through blockers, runs through ball carriers, especially in, you know, kind of tight spaces. He plays really low to the ground. You'll see he always has great leverage. Come through the blocker, then through the ball carrier. That's an impressive play against Notre Dame. Here against South Carolina, another big time play. Again, against Notre Dame on a 4th and short. This one is probably the most impressive. Yeah, just stands the back definitely. Up against Miami.
On a fourth and short, probably. Third and short.
Yep. Yep. Beats a hold from Florida State right there, right? And then still rallies to the football. Boom, another tackle for loss. And like I said, you just see he plays with great power, plays with great balance, you know, great leverage, all that good stuff. I think he projects to me as like a traditional 4-3 Mike backer, which there aren't a lot of those anymore. Kind of reminds me of a guy who was a first-round pick a few years ago. Hasn't quite panned out, at least to the level that I think people were hoping for when he got drafted. But Devin Bush, who played for the Steelers, played for the Seahawks last year, and is now playing for the Cleveland Browns, just got signed in free agency, right? But kind of reminds me of Devin Bush, traditional 4-3 Mike backer. I think that he got drafted in the 20s to Pittsburgh a few years ago, I think 2019. Like I said, didn't quite live up to that hype, but has been a productive player in the league. You watch him right here against the Dolphins, sees it, comes downhill, again, finishes with power on the tackle for a tackle for loss. Here he is against the Colts in the passing game, being able to make that play on Michael Pittman Jr. on the under route, and then once again against the Dolphins passing game, again the kind of that hip flip that we saw where Trotter picked that ball off, and you see Devin Bush actually does a good job there. I think that's on Jalen Waddle of creating the incompletion, right? So, you know, you can see the similarities. Again, Devin Bush maybe has not lived up to the hype when he was taken, but a productive NFL player. And I think that's what you're getting with Jeremiah Trotter. I think he's a guy who could probably be, you know, not just a downhill thumper on the early downs, but he'll also be a guy who can give you a little something in the passing game. And I think the biggest worry I have, and I think the biggest worry you have with him is maybe some limitations in coverage and like open field space. He's a little tight in his hips, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that you would worry you, and that's probably why he's not like a first round pick, right?
I get you.
If you know you're looking at mock drafts right now, it's kind of all over the place. Like I did see someone say, "Oh, he's a first round guy," right? There's like a sneak into the first round possibility. I think more than likely he's probably a third round pick. I don't think he gets to the fourth round.
Okay.
I think he's a third round pick just also because I think he is one of the true traditional 4-3 Mike backers. You don't have a lot of those in this class. And, you know, I think he has all the tools to become a three down legit NFL starter. So that being the case, I don't think he gets out of the third round. He may even sneak into the second round. And then the name helps too, right? The pedigree of who his dad was is a real benefit. But what did you see when you were watching, Joe?
So I put down that he understands his assignment. So like that was more for like the passing game where I would see him look at the like slot receiver, saw they were trying to hit like a slant or like a comeback, and then he would like look back at the QB, see where his guy is, or he would like attach himself to the receiver, but still keep his eyes on the QB, see where he was going to go with the ball. And then I wrote down he was elusive more in the sense of like the blitz game where he would, like as soon as he saw where he needed to go, he was hopping over there and just taking off. Or like even when with that play with the running back where he missed his block, like he was able to like hit like kind of a little juke on him, make a miss, and then get to the QB. And then I had my dumb note was for him having his own celebration. He always did the chop celebration. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw those on the plays.
Yeah. I think the production's there. There's some skills there. Someone will probably like him a lot. Like he would fit in kind of like a D'Amico Ryan style of defense. I don't think the Texans necessarily take him considering they took Henry To'o last year from Alabama, and he played pretty well. They also just signed Azeez Alshire in free agency, but a team like that that's running something similar to what D'Amico Ryans does, I think that's a place that Jeremiah Trotter could do really well. Who we got next?
Next guy we're looking at is Junior Colson out of Michigan. He's 6'2", 238. He played for 3 years. And he's got 43 games in those 3 years. Got 265 tackles, with 10 of those being for loss. He has a missed tackles percentage at 3%, really low, which checks out in the film. No interceptions, and he's got 2.5 sacks. Let me see. I don't got no combine numbers. I don't think he was there.
Okay. I think, yeah, he's another one of those ones that was at the combine but didn't do anything.
Okay.
Yeah. First thing that stands out with Junior Colson. Number one, I think he is a little bit more modern backer than old school in the sense that he's a little lighter, and he looks like, when you watch him in his 3 years at Michigan, especially his first year, he looks light. He almost looks like a DB in the box. And you're "Whoa." Really? He definitely put on weight the last couple of years, but he still is a little bit like leaner than your typical linebacker, I think. At least that's how he looks. But he does a really good job of, he's pretty sound. That's why he's only missed 3% of his tackles in his career. Yeah. That's the best of, I think, any of the guys in this group. But one of the ways that he does that, he plays square, right? Mm-hmm. Does a really good job of maintaining leverage on the ball while staying square to the line of scrimmage. Then that's, whether it's pass drop or in the run game, lets him make plays anywhere on the field, even if he takes a false step, which he did a couple times. You see that on film, but he's able to recover. So here you go. This is actually his junior year tape against Penn State. Staying square, getting to the line of scrimmage, making that play on the back, playing tough. Here it is in the Rose Bowl against Alabama. He's there in the middle. Big time play in overtime, right? Again, yeah. Stays square. Helps make that tackle against Chase McClellan. You see it again. Here he is in the middle playing against Ohio State in the game this year. Staying square, making that play. So he does a really good job of just maintaining leverage on the ball, puts himself in a spot he can always make plays.
Yeah.
Right? He never opens his hips until he absolutely has to. Even this one, he makes the play all the way on the opposite side of the field just because he stayed square and sifted through the sand right there, right? Boom.
Yeah,
get definitely. Back over the top. I mean, that's a play that the front side backer doesn't make, but he does just because, again, he stays square, even fighting over the top of the block. Next thing, he plays really fast. I have no idea what his 40 time is, but his play speed on film looks fast. He was excellent in terms of man or zone coverage. He showed up on punt coverage, blitzing, tracking in the open field. Like, his speed makes him super versatile and valuable, right? So once again, against Alabama in the Rose Bowl, Chase McClellan, being able to go run that down and make that play, you know, not every linebacker's making that, right? That's why I say he's more of that modern linebacker. He can run with the best of them. Here he is opposite this play with Dylan Johnson and Washington in the national title game, and watch him kind of get through everything and then run it down from the backside. Mm-hmm. Really good job right here of seeing the hole and shooting it to then go make the play on Dylan Johnson at the 10. Again, against Alabama, they're going to throw that ball to the flat, and he's going to run and rally and tackle it, force a third down. Another really, really good play from him. Again, from the opposite side of the field too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's the other part of it. It's really impressive. So the speed shows up in a myriad of ways. And then you see it on film in coverage against TCU in the playoff 2 years ago. Again, great play and coverage right there, right? Here he is against Ohio State. Got to run him down.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So he shows, you know, everything you want from the speed and being able to not just be fast, but play fast, right? Oh, hold on. Oh, sorry about that. You know, laptop got unplugged. Gonna die on me if I don't plug it in. Little things, right? All right, last but not least, his tackling. Best in the group, I think. That's why he only missed 3% of his tackles. Only missed nine tackles his entire career at Michigan, according to 33rd team. He'll come downhill and hit you in small spaces, but he really does a great job tracking laterally in the open field. You know, nine times out of 10, when linebackers miss tackles, it's usually more in the open field than it is in tight spaces, right? So he does a good job of all of that. And I think he's as reliable as they come in this group in terms of tackling. So here you go. Space against Penn State gets him on the ground. Again, tight space against Ohio State does a really good job getting him on the ground. And this is against Travion Henderson, one of the better backs in college football last year. Now you see some open field against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. That's a tough tackle.
Yeah,
reaching around a blocker to make it to. Another one against Ohio State from 2 years ago. Again, this one kind of in that open field where if you miss that tackle, that guy's bouncing it and he's going for
at least.
Yep. Here's another one that I thought, you know, and this is, we talked about playing square. We showed this earlier, but again, now emphasizing the tackle that he made there, you know, he misses that. That thing's going for still going, right? It's going for yards. So I think that's another really big element, and it's kind of easy, and you would hope you're saying, hey, my linebacker's a really good tackler, right? But he really is one of the better ones in the crew. So all that to say, he reminds me right now of Willie Gay, who just signed with the Saints in free agency, but has been with the Chiefs for quite a while as a Will linebacker, does a really good job for them, has been a part of, obviously, their Super Bowl teams. So here you go. Willie Gay against the Dolphins last year, being able to sift through, but then play with power through the ball. Actually forces a fumble right here on Raheem Mostert in the Germany game last year. See the replay. Comes through and punches on that punches ball.
It. Dang.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Then here he is, you know, blitzing with that speed against Trevor Lawrence, gets a sack, and then staying square in coverage and makes a play on the ball, right? Doesn't catch it, but, you know, makes a nice play, pass breakup against Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, this is about 4 years old, a few years ago. But all that to say, I think, you know, that reminds me a lot of what Willie Gay does. And Willie Gay is really good in the passing game, does a few different things there really well. And then survives in the running game, really. He's a good tackler, all those things. So I think that's where you see the similarities. What'd you see, Joe?
Let's see. I wrote that he had a great pursuit, which is kind of what you were talking about in the play speed, where he's just chasing everything down. You know, there was one play where the running back was hitting that screen, and instead of running up to him, he stayed down the line of scrimmage and met him there out on the sideline, basically. I said he might have long arms. It looked like some of those tackles, like the one where you're like reaching around the blocker, like that one right there, you could tell like he might have long arms just because he was able to reach in, like pull him down with one arm while like diving. And then I said he's got quick reads in the run game. And I said he might be every down back. So once I started watching him and I started to pay attention to like each down on the play if it was showed. And I don't know, I think being an every down back in general is impressive just because, you know, not only does that mean you're doing things in the run game, you're doing things in the passing game, and you're not getting swapped out by like one dude because it's third and long and now you can't play zone or whatever. So I thought that was also good.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the thing that you see when you see him right now, number one, he's durable. Guy played through a couple different injuries. Obviously, you saw he played with the hand, the cast on the hand for most of his junior season this year. And then he was really versatile in terms of as an athlete. So for the team drafting him, you know, I think you can get a – he's a will backer, but I think he could play in a multiple front defense, 3-4, 4-3, whatever you want to do up front. He could even be a guy that I think if you wanted to go to like a bare front, like a five-man front, you could put him on the line of scrimmage, right? He could be your guy in the box you want to stay true 3-4 or 4-3. But I think his speed and gives him a chance to play on special teams too, give you some extra added role and added value there. Mm-hmm. And then I also think the coverage and blitzing skills give him a role right away as like a sub package third down linebacker, right? With that being said, I think if you have a concern, it's tough to be like, hey, this guy's a sub package linebacker because he's a great cover guy, great blitzer. Well, he doesn't have any picks and he only has 2.5 sacks. Yeah, so the production isn't there. Now, on the flip side, you know, you could be like, well, he played in a really productive Michigan defense where there were a lot of guys getting sacks and picks. And, you know, so maybe maybe he didn't get the opportunity as a Mike backer in that system to make those as many of those plays. But I do think that's probably his role. But if you're talking about a concern, there's not a lot of production in that role right now. And then I think he's got to keep getting better in the run game, probably put on a little bit more weight, become better at beating blocks. That's the one thing. He's a little bit, like I mentioned earlier, he's kind of smaller. So sometimes he gets bullied a little bit by bigger offensive linemen, like big guards, if they get up to him. Mm-hmm. That's really tough on him. But you could also say that about like 80% of modern linebackers now, you know, like it's just true. They're smaller, they're quicker, they're faster. Like, dude, Junior Colson 25 years ago is probably a safety, right? Now,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, from a size, height, weight perspective. And now he's a Mike linebacker at Michigan. So it just is so different, but he definitely probably can get better there. And that's what he probably needs to develop to become like an every down linebacker. So with that being said, though, like I said, he gives you added value right away and something that teams really do need, which is that sub package linebacker. So he's right now like a second, third round pick from a lot of stuff I've seen. Some people like him as the best linebacker in their draft. So you just depends on, again, scheme fit and what teams are looking for him to do and how they think he'll develop. But who do we have next?
The next guy we're taking a look at is going to be Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State. We got him sitting at 6'4", 233. It's going to be 5 years right there. I made sure to do the math ahead of time. We got 46 games in those 5 years. He's got 390 tackles. That's insane. With 62 for loss, he's got a missed tackles percentage at 6%. He's got 8 interceptions and then 12 sacks. We got some numbers for him. 18. He ran a... What did I say? Did I say 18?
You said 12.
Oh, jeez, that's bad. I'm docking him some points. He ran a 4.43 in the 40 with a 1.54 on his 10-yard split. And then he did 9.11 on the broad jump. So I did a couple things.
So Peyton Wilson... Definitely, like, first thing I could say about him, he's definitely the most athletic of all these guys. Like, just pure, like, testing numbers, but also just, like, what you see on film, the things that he does.
Yeah.
For sure, the most athletic, most versatile guy in the crew. So if you value that at linebacker, then this is probably your guy. The thing that I saw on the tape that I liked is his play recognition was really good, right? Which means... You know, linebackers who can recognize concepts within the first second of the snap because they use visual cues pre-snap, they know they've watched a lot of film, and now they're putting it all together within that first second of the snap. Those dudes make a lot of plays, right? That's why, like, a guy like Luke Kuechly was so good, or guys like Roquan Smith now. Like, it's not just the athleticism. It's the time spent in the film room understanding what you're going to get before you get it, right? So I like that, you know, you get that with him. He had the most combined sacks, interceptions, forced fumbles, tackles for loss of anyone in the group, and it really wasn't even close. And obviously he did play the one extra year, but it should be noted, like, his extra year was – he basically was spent on – IR. He missed like an entire season with an ACL. That's why he wears a knee brace. That is a real concern. He's been hurt in every year, and I'll get to the concern part later, but that is something to keep in mind as we're talking about this guy. But big part of his ability to sort out what is happening pre-snap, post-snap, to find the football. I mean, he's a playmaker. That's why he has so many plays in terms of, like I said, those big production plays, sacks, forced fumbles, picks, tackles for loss. So here you go. Here he is against Clemson this past year. Coming from that Will linebacker spot, makes a big play on the zone read. Again, same thing. And this is actually from 2 years ago with DJ Ungalale. Here he is with the pick at the end of the game. Gets down, smart play against UConn. Tackle for loss against Notre Dame. But you can see he recognizes plays. I mean, that one's a heady play to see like what you're getting behind you. Get your hands up, right?
Yeah.
Against Duke, that's a sick play where he just gets back there right now. I think the amount of times you see him just see it, pull the trigger, and make plays, whether it's off the edge or from the true linebacker spot, is really impressive. He does a really good job with that. Again, once he pulls that trigger, he's quick. He's as quick as he is fast. So I think the play recognition from him is really good. Then you see the pass rush versatility. Like, of all these guys, he lined up on the edge the most in what NC State asked him to do. So you saw him, show a lot of versatility in terms of he could blitz inside, he could blitz off the edge, he could line up off the edge and just pass rush. And, he could hook drop and make plays. I mean, that kind of versatility can make you the sort of Swiss Army knife NFL teams love, because it means they can be multiple without having to substitute. We've talked about this a few times, right? So here you go. Him off the edge. Oof, like a missile. They didn't account for him.
Nope.
Now Aries blitzing inside on the late hook, wraparound blitz. Gosh, same quarterback too, poor guy. That's against Malik Willis. Malik Willis a couple years ago runs him down. Now he's in the coverage, in his hook drop. Now he's just going to go find that quarterback when he tries to take off. Gosh, that looks like it hurt. Again, in coverage, I'm going to go find him now and go help make the sack. Dropping. Going to go pick it off right here off the tip. Here he is at the line of scrimmage. Again, off the tip, pick it, score a touchdown.
Take it to the house.
Yep, big time play. Once again, blitzing inside. Got him.
That one was nice.
Here he is sitting at the line of scrimmage. Boom. Going to go help clean it up, make the sack, as the spy guy. Again, kind of that spy guy. Show up late. Go get him. 10-yard sack. Again, spying Tagovailoa. Show up late. Another sack. Right, that's that ghost blitz I was talking about where you're like spy sitting at the line of scrimmage, find it late. He does that really well. But you see, like, he does everything in the pass game. Like, he did it all. I mean, in that just like 2 minute span, you saw pretty much everything you could ask a linebacker to do on a 3rd and 10 type situation. Then in the run game, he has a really nice blend of size, speed, and power to either punch through blocks or just avoid them entirely. You see him beat receivers in space with power, interior offensive linemen in tight spaces, which is speed, offensive tackles on the edge, using his hands, getting his hips around, bending through. So you saw him kind of beat a bunch of different kinds of blocks. Right here, he's just going to beat the pulling guard with speed. Yeah. Just beats him to the spot. Man, right, same. Now he beats he sets an edge on a tackle, because that one he was on the true edge. They try and run at him. You can't run at him. Now he's just going to beat that tackle in space, trying to climb on the down block, get to the ball, right? Again, powers through a guard right there to make the tackle. So you saw all kinds of, types of plays in that cut-up, but just seeing him beat blocks was something I really loved. Again, this one I love is he's setting an edge against the tackle, and he's bullying him, and it creates a TFL. So he's fast, but he's also strong and powerful in that frame. You don't see a lot of 6'4", 4'3 guys, or 4'4", 3 guys, I should say, playing linebacker now. It's not a lot of those guys that exist. So for the comp, I had to kind of dig. I had to go way back, right? And I went back and thought about Carlos Dansby, like all the things he did in his career. He played for the Titan or the Cardinals, the Dolphins, the Browns. I think the Bengals at one point played for the Cardinals like three different times. But just all the things they asked him to do as a true off-ball linebacker. He lined up off the edge and gave you pressure from the edge. He would blitz inside. He was a really good cover linebacker. But he's also a guy that was bigger. He had that 6'4 frame. Not sure that he ran 4.43, but a big, big dude. And so you can see him right here, you know, pick six against Andrew Luck and the Colts. You see him jump the route, you know, looks a lot like the one that Peyton Wilson had against Clemson. Another one where he jumps the out route as an underneath defender, scores.
Hey, you might be surprised. He ran a 4.45.
There you go. 4.45. Exact. So again, there you go. 6'4 dude who can run a 4.4. There aren't a lot of those that exist. Carlos Dansby is one of them. Now you see him blitzing off the edge.
Got him.
Right? And again, blitzing off the edge. JP Lossman. That's how you know that one's old against the Bills. And then that play he makes again as an interior blitzer against the Packers in overtime of that wild card game to end the game. The defensive touchdown, huge play. So the Carlos Dansby comp was the best one I could come up with, again, because that's such a unique frame and skill set to be 6'4 and run 4.4 and be able to blitz or edge rush or hook drop, play tough in the run. Carlos Dansby did it for a number of years, was a really good player. I think kind of Peyton Wilson fits that mold. But what say you, Joe?
On the pass, like when he was lined up on the edge, when he was pass rushing, I saw a shoulder dip from him. So he would, since he's quick enough to get by the people, he would just duck his inside shoulder and they can't touch him. I mean, they could shove him in the back if they really want to, but like he was so quick, it was like they could never get a hand on him. He was getting around that edge. And then I also had that he has good downhill speed. So kind of ties in with the play recognition right there, where once he saw what like the play developed, he was just taking off on him, just shot out of a cannon, as you like to say. And those are the two things I saw. I mean, I thought he was in the lined up at the edge a lot, which is a little bit different compared to the rest of dudes we were looking at. But I mean, he still has good versatility in that sense, where if you put him outside on the edge or outside, like as a true backer, it's like he's gonna be able to make plays for sure.
Yeah. So the thing with, like I said, with Wilson, you know, that you like, and you look at the flexibility of being, you know, 6'4", 233, running a 4.43, the college production that he had, you put all that together, should slide in real well as a tool within a multiple front defense, where I think he can align at Mike Will or even on the edge at times.
Yeah.
I would anticipate him being an NFL starter pretty quickly and being able to play all three downs pretty quickly. And I think he'll continue to get better. I think he probably has the high ceiling of the group, considering all the things that he can do again in a modern NFL scheme. In terms of projections right now, there's some people who he's sneaking into that first round a lot, somewhere between picks 25 and 32. But then if he's not a first round guy, he doesn't usually last in mocks later than pick 50. So we're talking somewhere between picks 25 and 50 for him. That's the range right now. If there's a concern with him, the biggest concern is the injury history. He missed his freshman year at NC State in 2018, took a medical red shirt because he was recovering from a torn ACL in high school. In 2021, he only played two games and he got a red shirt for that year because of a shoulder injury that he ended up having surgery on. So he's had, you know, some
those are major
injury. Yeah, some injury history. This last year, I believe he missed a game or two because of an injury. So, you know, I think there's definitely he's torn his ACL. He's torn his ACL twice.
Ooh.
He's had two ACL tears and he has had the shoulder injury. So, I think there's just, you just got to be concerned about the injury history with a guy like that since it's happened so much. So that's the biggest concern with him. But like I said, he's probably got still, in my opinion, the highest ceiling. So who do we have next, though, Joe?
The next guy we're taking a look at is going to be Edrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. He's 6'2", 230. He's got 4 years there with 35 games. He has 197 total tackles, 38 of those being for loss. He has a missed tackles percentage of 7%, which I think you might be able to talk about in some of these clips, I'm assuming. And let's see, he's got 2 interceptions there and 9.5 sacks. We got combine numbers for him. He ran, I can't read my right. I'm assuming it's 4.51, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. That's
on the
about
40.
What it was.
Yeah, with a 1.54 on his 10-yard split, 34.5-inch vertical with a 9.10 on the broad jump.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I think Edgerrin Cooper is kind of like the flashy dude of the group, I guess is how I would describe him. Like, he's a really good blitzer. He's nasty, and that shows up. Like, he's got a real attitude when he plays, and it shows up on film in a good way. And then he's just got really high motor, like just super physical and competitive, and it just never stops. And then his trigger is like, when he sees it, he goes, right? Mm-hmm. So I like all that about him, just off the cuff. Here you go, just some cut-ups of him as a blitzer against Arkansas, coming off the slot, showing off that slot, and boom, blindside, smoking the quarterback in the back. Get up and let him know, right? Oof. Dad in the stands going crazy. Love that. Boom. But great play from the Aggie. Another one off the edge. Jalen Milrow absolutely never sees him. Nice. I mean, Cleater, man. He like picked Jalen Milrow up. Now he's going to loop it back around inside against Jaden Daniels. Almost takes out his own guy as they meet at the quarterback. Pretty funny. Here's another one of those ghost blitzers, right? Yeah. Sitting at the line of scrimmage, the delayed. Show up late.
I think he had a lot of these too.
Mm-hmm. It's the new thing. Here it is again against Jalen Milrow in Alabama. It's one of those things that you saw a lot of teams are doing this year. It's keeping a guy at the line of scrimmage, looking like he's part of the pressure, but he's kind of not. He's that ghost blitzer that sits and waits on it, lets the quarterback find it, and then you find it.
Yeah.
Here he is a delayed blitz up the middle against Jackson Dart and Mississippi State, or Ole Miss, I'm sorry. Comes off the edge, beats the back one-on-one, gets the sack right here against Arkansas. So a lot of good from him as a blitzer. He shows you kind of all facets of blitzing. He obviously loves to come off that edge, though. Next, the physicality. Like, you know, I think linebackers, like offensive line, defensive line guys, should be your tone setter. Like, you like those guys to be your tone setters. Bringing an attitude to your team. I think the best ones have the ability to be like the emotional center of your team. You know, you're thinking of like a Ray Lewis. You know, like the better ones do that really well in a way that's controlled, but shows up, right? Especially when you need it to. And I think he approaches the game that way. He approaches blockers and ball carriers with bad intentions. I think he makes some game-changing plays because of it. Just because he has that nasty physicality built into his game. You know, you can tell it's natural for him. Right here, I just love the finish of this play.
Yeah.
And to stand up and kind of, just like, I'm not only going to hit you, but I'm going to let you know afterwards that I hit you really freaking hard. Right? Okay. Now he sees, you know, this is a far run. I love the tracking of this.
Yeah.
Now I will be honest with you. As a defensive coach who loves to coach tackling, I hate the shoulder throw right here.
Yep.
However, he absolutely smokes the dude, puts him on his butt, but like would love to see him tackle better. And that may be the part
that's my one knock. That's where I was with the missed tackles percentage. I feel like he's going in with too much power more often than not, relying on that to get them to the ground, and it's not. Sometimes it doesn't work out right there. That dude could have had a chance to keep it going.
There's definitely an element to like play with an attitude, play physical, play nasty, love it, go for the big hits, right? Love all that. Mm-hmm. But also be sound and make sure we're putting dudes on the ground. And sometimes he wasn't always the most sound tackler because he's trying so hard to get the big hit. So yeah, there's a balance there. And he's definitely going to have to find it in the NFL. I think he did a decent job at A&M, but yes, that there's a reason why his missed tackle rate is higher than others. Last but not least, the motor and the trigger. Okay. So all these are kind of motor or trigger. Some of them are both, but this is motor. Just continually working to the football. Good things happen when you do that. Scoop and score, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Aggie fans rejoice. Okay. This one's trigger. Just see it, pull it, go. Make the tackle in the backfield. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He does have a quick trigger, and I love that. Trigger.
That one for sure. Yeah.
Boom. And then again, I still love the nasty finish of just like swinging a dude and pushing him on the ground. This one is motor. Just going to keep shouting, keep shouting, keep hand fighting with this center. I'm going to go keep make the tackle. The it's a sack. Yep. And here you go. This one's motor and trigger. I'm on punt team, right? Got the motor run down on punt, the trigger to go find that football when it's muffed. Go make a play on special teams. And a lot of these guys can and will be special teamers in the NFL. And I like that you see that from him and that it's on his tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a good blend of the motor and the trigger there. Two different things, but I think they're incorporated together with his game. So he reminds me of another guy. You know, we mentioned this with Devin Bush, high pedigree, high pick, hasn't quite lived up to that name in the NFL. It's kind of funny on those Brady Buccaneer teams. You know, when they won the Super Bowl, Devin White was like considered one of the better linebackers in the NFL. In recent years, you know, it's kind of been weird in Tampa, hasn't quite worked out, and now he just signed in Philly in this offseason. So we've got, you know, it's funny, I'm highlighting all these linebackers, you know, that all signed with new teams in free agency this year. But Devin White, I mean, the speed and the blitzing are the two things that come to mind with Devin White versus Edgerrin Cooper. Obviously, they both wear number 45 too. That probably helps. But you just see the tracking, the finishing, the nasty finish on TJ Hockenson right there. The late loop on the pressure on Justin Fields as a blitzer. Here he is in coverage. Again, the athleticism in space, like, you know, with Devin White.
That's unfortunate.
Here you go again as a blitzer, kind of that ghost pressure player. And now he is as a true blitzer inside. So a lot of the same things that you see on Edgerrin Cooper's tape are the things that make Devin White a pretty productive player, even if he hasn't lived up to that first round name. And it's interesting, you know, like Cooper could be a first round pick. He's another one in that picks 25 to 50 range. Think he's probably going to end up in round two, which honestly may be better for him. A lot of these guys, like I said, I'm comping him to productive NFL players, Devin Bush, Devin Bush and Devin White. But those guys, again, were picked in like the top 20. I think in Devin White's case, he was like a top 10 pick, right? So when you're picked there, the expectations are like, you got to be one of the better linebackers of all time, you know, because linebackers don't go in the top 10 like that. Versus when you're picked number 38, it's like, oh yeah, if you're a good player, that's a great pick, you know? And so I think that's for these guys, hopefully where they go. So they don't have that kind of pressure. What do you see when you look at Cooper?
I guess I didn't really have much else besides him being powerful. I wrote he needs to wrap up, which, I mean, you could still have a combination of power while wrapping up. You know what I mean? Like going through the guy as like instead of just stopping once you get that initial contact. So I guess I was just thinking he has some improvement. Not necessarily not he's doing anything bad right now, just he could be better to make sure, you know, that missed tackles percentage drops a little bit, make sure he's getting the tackles and not leaving room for error. And I put not the best ball defender, I guess. I don't know what I saw on that one, but I'm assuming it was in the past game where either it was like him letting the dude get the catch and then he was getting the tackle like a couple steps later or something. That's the only thing I can think of right now. I don't know why I didn't add more to that as opposed to not the best ball defender. So can't really defend that one. I don't know why I wrote it down.
Well, I think you're not wrong. If you notice, a lot of his clips are in the run game or in the short, quick passing game. We don't have a lot of tape of him playing like zone coverage and flipping his hips like we did with Trotter.
Oh, you know what? That's probably Junior exactly Colson. What it was. And, it was more and, he was blitzing as opposed to being set in a like a zone, like you said. Yeah, I think you're right.
And I mean, I think that's probably the two things that are, if I have concerns with Cooper, the two things are, is he going to be able to play coverage well enough to be on the field consistently?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has no problem getting to the football. We see that. He tracks well. He runs hard. He plays his butt off. He comes with nasty intentions. But is he going to finish every tackle? And right now numbers say, like, eh, not all the time. So that's the two things that you, if you're having a concern, that's your concern. But I think the traits are there. He brings a lot to the table. Good, it does give him the chance to play.
He tested well too.
Yes. I do think it gives him a chance to play well in multiple roles. Best fit to me is like a Will linebacker in a 3-4, but allowing him to be a blitzer more often than a cover guy right now would be, I think, early on is what he's going to need to do. And then we saw the added value he brings on special teams. So that'll be the thing for him is, can he become a better cover guy? And maybe he can do it in Texas A&M, just didn't ask him to do it a whole lot. Obviously, Devin White does a decent job of it. And then, you know, I think making sure that he's tackling when he gets to the ball would be the last thing. But who do we have last on the docket today?
Okay, so this one, I'm going to go with my gut saying it's Tyrese, but it's spelled Tyrice. So I'm going Tyrese Knight here out of UTEP. He's 6'1", 233. It's got 4 years there with 45 games. Oh, he's got the most tackles of everyone, huh? 408 on the tackles, 43 of those being for loss. Missed tackles percentage sitting at 4%. He has 2 interceptions and then 8.5 sacks during that time. And for the combine, we got a 4.63 in the 40 with a 1.54 in his 10-yard split. 34.5-inch vertical. He has 9.11 on the broad. And he did this, the 3-cone where he got a 7.25. He has a 4.4 in the shuttle drill with 21 reps on bench. So he just kind of did it all, made sure to get some numbers out there.
So, I mean, the first thing that I kind of like about Tyrese Knight is that he had the opportunity to leave UTEP before his senior year, right? Transfer portal. Could have made some money, probably gone to a bigger school, because he had had his sophomore and junior year at UTEP, he was a 100+ tackle guy both years.
Dang.
And instead of leaving, he came back to UTEP for a fourth season and was a 100+ tackle guy again. I think he had 142 tackles his senior year at UTEP.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, people asked him about it and he was like, oh, you know, like, they were the ones that took a chance on me out of high school and they helped me become who I am. And so I couldn't leave them. You know, I couldn't leave my teammates, my coaches. Like, I like that attitude. You know, it's not to say that guys that transfer or go get the bag in NIL are wrong or that I don't like those guys. I just, if a guy's like, hey, I'm loyal, you know, I kind of like that.
If you want another reference, we can go loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
he's got like that, you know, intangible to him that I like.
Yeah.
He's not a guy, like, I'll be honest with you, there aren't a lot of draft guys right now that are going to tell you Tyrese Knight is in their top 5 linebackers. And in most years he wouldn't be, quite frankly. He's a small school guy that's a little bit of a project. Definitely. But this year's linebacker crew is so honestly as a whole pretty weak. That if I'm looking at a guy to be in that top 5, I'm looking at traits, because the film for all these guys is spotty. So where are the traits? What can a guy become? Where can I take a risk that I think is going to be, you know, low risk, high reward? And to me, that's this year is Tyrese Knight. You know, he's really patient in the run game. Even in the pass game, I think he sifts through blockers really well. You know, I think some linebackers, they have the tendency to like get downhill, put themselves in the line of scrimmage right now, and then they're just caught in traffic. And so they can't make a play, right? They're not free to go make the tackle. The point of being 5 yards off the ball is that you are off the ball. You can see
everything play out.
Right now, yeah. There's a fine line between waiting and being patient. Right, some backers wait and they let the whole play get to them, and they never move forward. That's not good either.
And then you're getting beat too by the time the lineman gets to you. Yeah.
Yep. And I think he does a pretty good job of towing that line. He's not waiting, but he's patient. Right.
Yep.
So here you go. I think this is against UNLV. I want to say. But that's a great play, just sifting through blockers. And I love that we get the behind angle on it. This one I love because he mirrors the back.
Mm-hmm,
that is nice. A play that's really hard to coach. I'll just tell you, linebackers, that's a hard one, right? That's one that you could tell must have been drilled a lot. There's another one, again, sifting. Big boy tackle, too, on the back. Seeing the patience to see screen. And then making that play on the screen, I thought was great recognition. Here's against FIU. Again, it's patience, but when he pulls the trigger, you see that man flies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when he pulls it, he's going. He's shot out of a cannon, and I love that. So that's why, you know, I say again, he may be small school. We may have some concerns about the level of competition he played, the level he played at, you know, the guys he played with, all that good stuff. It's all going to be a new transition for him. But you see, again, the traits here are undeniable.
All good intangibles.
In my opinion, yes. I mean, this play right here, I love. Right, that's a big play.
Yeah.
Okay, then we go to the tackling. Again, for being a 100-plus tackle guy for each of his last three seasons, he only missed 17 tackles during that time frame, according to 33rd team. So this guy went 100-plus tackles every year. His last 3 years there, and then missed about 5 tackles a year in that same time frame. Comes with great base, pad level, strikes his hands through ball carriers. A lot of things that you want to, you know, it's teach tape. Here you go, right here. Boom. Even with the back cutting away from him, he's able to chop him down. This is not a tackle necessarily, but it shows you the pad level he plays with, and it gives you a nice little zone coverage cut up, right? Boom.
Yeah.
Knocking the ball free, jarring it free. Another one against Arizona, right? He's got some really good plays against Arizona, which is, you know, Pac-12 competition, better teams than he played in Conference USA. Here you go again against FIU, being able to run it down and then make the kind of the shoestring tackle in space.
Yeah.
And then this one going through a blocker and through a ball carrier, right? I love that play. Because he avoids the block, you know, doesn't take the block on like unnecessarily, and then makes the tackle, right?
Did you see the back on that play? He was like, where'd he go? How did I not make that block?
Exactly. And then last but not least, I think the thing that you love in terms of, again, traits, he's strong and long, right? Mm-hmm. This is some Senior Bowl film. Shout out to the Senior Bowl. Got my Senior Bowl shirt on today.
Oh, there you go.
So some Senior Bowl tape from him. Where that was a good barometer for him, right? You know, like I said, he played at UTEP. So I'm like, questions about, okay, can he play with these guys? And at the Senior Bowl, he did a good job. Here he is, you know, some practice film at the Senior Bowl. Again, just being strong. He's getting, you know, he's got a big SEC O lineman on him, and he's still going to make that tackle, right? Here's another one. The length shows up, being able to run this play down, sideline to sideline. Another one right here, the length showing up sideline to sideline. I do think he may only be 6'1", but he has an 80-inch wingspan.
Okay. Yeah, that helps a lot.
Yeah, right? 6'1", but 80-inch wingspan. So he has legit length to create separation from NFL blockers, right? When he punches, he's going to create separation. And then he also tied for the most bench reps at the combine. He did 21.
Yeah.
So it's long, but it's also strong. I mean, the fact that he's got an 80-inch wingspan, so he's got those long arms, but then he's benching 21 times.
Yeah.
To me, that's impressive. So he does not right now, is what I would tell you when you watch the film, he doesn't do a great job of block destruction right now. It's something he really needs to develop. However, if he's got an 80-inch wingspan and the man can bench press 21, 225, 21 times, that tells me he's got the strength and length that if he gets coached up the right way, he's going to be, that should be something he's really good at in the NFL, right? So I think there's a lot there for an NFL coach to develop. And that's why I like him. I think he's like a, you know, right now no one's projecting him to be, you know, a day one or even day two pick. He's a day three, sixth round, seventh round type guy right now. Yeah. However, you know, guy that he reminds me of, Landon Roberts, who played with the Patriots, was a seventh round pick, I believe, with the Patriots, played kind of on special teams for them, developed a role with Belichick as a linebacker, signed kind of a bigger deal with the Dolphins, did a good job there, and then 2 years ago in free agency signed with the Steelers and has done a good job with the Steelers now and has carved out like a nice career for himself as a guy who was a later pick. And I think you could kind of see something similar from Tyrese Knight. You know, Landon Roberts came out of Houston, which again is a little bit smaller school, although they are, you know, a Power 5 school now. They weren't at that time, obviously. And so here's some film of him with the Dolphins a couple years ago. 4th and 1, right? I mean, he just goes straight, blows this play up.
Yeah.
Does not give Lamar Jackson a chance to go convert. Again, being able to run down plays, that strength and length, and then the tackling when he gets there. Here he is on Josh Allen, who's one of the strongest quarterbacks in the NFL, one of the strongest runners, period. And he's going to stand him up and drive him backwards. Again, blows up another play against
Carter, I think.
I can't remember which back that was. You might be right. It might have been Michael Carter. But again, so you're seeing him make plays on Lamar Jackson and
Josh Allen.
You know, Josh Allen, Devin Singletary. So he's making these plays, and he's, again, strong, long, patient, able to sift through traffic, pulls the trigger really well, tackles really well. All of things that remind me a lot of what Tyrese Knight can be. And similar kind of situation coming out of college. He's a draft and stash, develop, and then see what you got in a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what Tyrese Knight can be, probably will be. What'd you see, Joe?
I saw the patience as well. I mean, I struggled with this one. The film was limited, as we talked about, too, whereas like smaller school, you know, there's not as much publicity surrounded around that. So, yeah, I saw the patience for sure. I saw that checkout. And then the fact that you had that listen one made perfect sense to me. And then with the tackling, you could tell what the missed tackle percentage is going to be low. So he's really good at that. And then I like that you brought up that he's got the 80-inch wingspan. That also checks out. And that helps with just like the extra little things going outside of the numbers where he's chasing someone down. That's always nice to see because like that's sometimes the last barrier before the safety. So you kind of need those to happen out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all that being said, you know, I've kind of said this numerous times, you know, the biggest thing that you worry about, one, his film is not as good as some of the other guys, and he played at UTEP. So there's things you'd like to see on film that you haven't seen from him yet, is what I would say. Not that it's not good, just there's things I wish I would have seen that I haven't seen him do yet, right? Yeah, so I think that makes him a developmental prospect, smaller school guy, hasn't shown enough on the tape to be like a high prospect, has a lot of NFL traits. Someone will take this guy and coach him, and he's going to end up producing.
In a couple years, he's doing something for sure.
Because he did produce at a high level at UTEP, obviously.
Yeah, 100 tackles machine. Is crazy. That's like 10, at least 10 a game.
Yeah, you're talking about he was averaging 102 tackles a year at UTEP.
Yeah, that's like 8
through 4 years, and that's including a freshman year where I think he had like 60 tackles as a freshman, right? Obviously didn't play nearly as much. But I think ideally he'll add some early special teams value, and they have the ability to develop as a 4-3 Mike linebacker. And again, the other thing that's important about this, there are not a lot of 4-3 Mike linebackers anymore. Jeremiah Trotter's the only one with pedigree in this draft that is legit. Everyone else is probably a developmental prospect anyway. So if you're going to take a chance on a guy in round 6 or round 7, why not a guy who could turn into your 4-3 Mike, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what I think Tyrese Knight is. So that being said, we got to rank the guys. And, you know, I made you go first a lot. So I think I'll go first today.
Sounds good.
You know, and I'll go. So number one, I think the highest ceiling guy, again, it's not a great class. So if that's the case, I'm going with the highest ceiling guy, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going with Peyton Wilson. I know the injury history's there. I do have concerns about that. But again, if I'm going to take a chance on a guy in the second round, I'm taking a chance on the guy that I think could turn into a perennial Pro Bowler like a Carlos Dansby was with Peyton Wilson. So can give you all different kinds of variations of linebacker play. He's a Swiss Army knife. So I like that about him. Number two, I'm going with Edgerrin Cooper. I like the speed there. I think obviously we have some concerns about the missed tackles, but I love the fact that
those for sure.
He's a sick blitzer, which, you know, obviously is scheme dependent what you want, but he's a guy I'd love to coach just because I think, you know, you can send him from anywhere and he's going to go make plays. He's got great speed. Number three, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. He's got the pedigree. He's probably closest to being the most complete guy. I do worry about kind of being stiff a little bit, maybe not as fast, but he feels like the dude of this group that will, if no one else does it, he'll be the one that carves out the 10, 15 year career. You know, 10 years probably is long for a linebacker, but 10 years, he'll be the dude that just, he plays for a long time and is a productive Mike linebacker for somebody.
You're 10, shout out the boy.
So, and then also it does not hurt that he's got the pedigree of his dad, right? Number four, Junior Colson. I think he can carve out a role right away as a sub-package linebacker, third down guy, slowly develop to becoming a three down, every down guy. I think that's the big thing for him. Put on a little weight, get a little stronger, don't get swallowed up by blockers, you know, bigger blockers as much. And develop in the run game so that now you're a complete linebacker. If he does that, he could be the best one in the group. Just, you know, that's going to be, you know, the situations these guys get drafted into will obviously be a big part of this. And then last but not least, the developmental guy of the group, Tyrese Knight, the guy who I think is a draft and stash, but has great potential. Honorable mention, guys, you know, Cedric Gray from UNC shows some really good stuff. He's kind of explosive, but also sort of hit and miss. Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State, you know, good linebacker in college for a long time. He's kind of a throwback. Not sure he can survive in modern NFL defenses. Michael Barrett from Michigan is really small, shows up a lot on tape. He kind of gets swallowed a lot, but helped, you know, was just an explosive player at Michigan, like helped them obviously win a national championship. And then Jalen Ford at Texas is another guy that, you know, I think a lot of people like. So there's a lot of names, you know, and those guys all come from schools of pedigree. But it probably says a lot that I took Tyrese Knight in the fifth spot as a developmental guy from UTEP. So, you know, this it's just not like we started the show. The group overall is just not quite as good as a lot of the other position groups. This is not like the best year to draft a full linebacker. Yeah. So. Who you got,
my,
Joe?
My ranking comes out to – I got Junior Colson at one, I think, just based off, you know, the fact that he was making all his tackles and, you know, he went to Michigan, so he's playing against good talent. Like, I think that's part of the reason why I had him here. Peyton Wilson, now I did kind of critique him being an edge guy, but he's still, you know, based off the group, he's definitely got to be in that top two. He has, like you said, the traits to keep him going for a while and to start out big for a squad, so that's huge. And then three, I went with Jeremiah Trotter. I think he just had good intangibles. He was able to make good reads on the thing, you know what I mean? Like the delayed blitzes was also nice to see, where, you know, you could see that he understands the way things develop and you go ahead and take his shot. And then at four, I got Edgerrin Cooper. Now, the big critique here for me, obviously, was his tackling. We mentioned that plenty of times. So that's why I think I just got him lower on the list. And then Tyrese Knight rounds it out, just being, like you said, the developmental guy. You got to, you know, give him a year or two, and then, you know, you could probably see some big things come out of him. So that's my list for today.
Well, I hope y'all... obviously, like, subscribe, comment, all the good stuff. Joey told you where you can find us earlier in the pod. Also, you know, next week we'll be back. We got running backs, which I am excited for. I'm sure my boy Blake Corum will make an appearance on that show. So we're excited. Keep listening. Keep following us all the way up through and after the draft, so you get everything that you want to know about all these prospects.
Definitely, I think we're doing.
Not to pat myself on the back, I think we're doing as good a job as anybody out there right now in terms of covering the draft and giving you like legit analysis, you know, week in, week out. So if that's what you're looking for, you know, you've come to the right place. You're going to, you know, obviously really educate yourself prior to draft night, you know,
and let you throw out some names, make it look like you know what you're talking about. If you're a guy like me who doesn't frequent the NCAA, you at least know what's going on at least day one. You know what I mean?
Also, it makes watching the draft more fun. I'll just be honest. You know more about the guys and you know actually who your team is drafting and what kind of guy they're getting. It makes it more fun. So then when you're mad, right, that your team drafted so-and-so, you can be mad for a real reason and not just, I'm mad. So
mad to express the anger. You have a real reason, like, oh, this guy, you know, he... a little weaker or something. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, yeah. If your team takes one of these linebackers in the 11th pick, you can be like, TB and Jody told me it was a weaker linebacker class. Why are we taking a guy at 11? Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, that being said, we appreciate all of you for listening, liking, subscribing. Keep following. Watch on YouTube if you want to watch the video cut-ups of these guys. And we're going to keep raging on.
Definitely, definitely. And with that all being said, we close out with our guy Ray Ray taking us out.
I've been putting music online. I've been patient, but I'm sitting on a gold mine. Gold mine, I had it since I'd have known time. Gotta rewind to understand my punchlines. In the past, I was overlooked usually. Been the underdog player, this ain't nothing new to me. I can see the competition worry, so they stop and listen. I promise ain't no politicking with the opposition. This is something different, I'm something you've never seen. Writing lines and touching minds with every stream. 6 feet, bury beats, this ain't hollow and Apollo. I promise I'll be the hardest act to follow. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you know some. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you know some. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Back home and the vision got them all tripping. I see the change, let me break it down, sit and listen. See where I'm from, they don't make it to the finish line. They have a dream, but they give up on it every time. So when they see me, they don't treat me like they used to. Probably because they witnessing something that they ain't used to. I am not the usual, I am an anomaly. I'm just trying to multiply my paper like Monopoly. Code us out probably, will he make it possibly? Honestly, I'm tripping, man, ain't somebody that's stopping me. This already written, I'm just living on my prophecy. Regardless of what happened here tonight, I'll still be popping beat. Man, I did this on my own too. Put myself in this position on my own too. You know who you are, I don't need to expose you. I'm looking at everybody who got it like I told you. Woo! Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you notice him. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you notice him. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one.